Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. And it's time for today's camp notes for 8/13/24, a Tuesday here. Another great day, beautiful weather day. No pads, one field of 11 on 11. A lot of injury news to talk about. So absent were Keaton Mitchell, still on PUP. Tyler Lindebaum has been out since early August. Arthur Maulet, who is believed to be gone for some period of the regular season with a arthroscopic procedure. Rasheen Ali, who had the stinger on Friday night in the game. Russell Gage with an undisclosed, rumored to be a hamstring injury. He did get one target in that first preseason game. Chris Board, who had a concussion. Quincy Roche, no idea what's wrong with him, undisclosed. He's been out approximately a week now, maybe even a little longer. Nate Wiggins, who had the shoulder injury from that first game. John Harbaugh still believes he'll be back for week one. We certainly hope so after that performance. Christian Mathieu, an undisclosed injury. And Sanusi Kane, who appeared to have a possible concussion on the head helmet-to-helmet shot, although I don't know that that's been confirmed so far. A few more people in limited activity today. TJ Tampa is second day back from PUP, running on the side, but he was in uniform, so that's always nice to see as opposed to just running in sweats or running in other gear. Bateman was back. He played a few 11-on-11 reps today after pulling up early in a one-on-one rep yesterday. So that's definitely an improvement to be playing a few 11-on-11s today. Trayvon Mullen was in uniform, worked on a side field. Kyle Hamilton, incredibly, was back for 11-on-11 action today, which is an enormous sigh of relief for the Ravens fan base that their best defensive player probably is back and available. One new face in camp today, an unrestricted free agent running back, John Kelly. He's got 5 years in the league with the Browns and Rams. He'll be 28 in October, and he was signed, wears number 33 right now. Probably part of this is to make sure the camp reps are completely covered with Ali out. They still have about four healthy guys, including Collier and Wright and Henry and Hill, but you don't want to get too short at running backs. I remember that happening once on Hard Knocks, where they are down to one running back who was taking all the snaps, and then some defensive lineman clotheslined him. And there's a big ruckus over that. So obviously you want to have enough coverage for your snaps to be spread well among your running backs. Go through a few 7-on-7 highlights. And again, these are not ideal coverage situations, or certainly at least pressure situations for defenses. So we'll just talk about them if it's an extreme play. But Andrews, dropped a 40-yard bomb from Lamar down the right sideline. Now, Lamar was really feeling the deep ball today. You're going to get that from these notes over and over again. He threw a lot of deep balls. A lot of them were thrown right on target. And not everyone was caught, but he definitely had some catches. This one, Andrews did not return after the play. And he's still standing there watching 11-on-11, still holding his helmet. So not sure, might have tweaked something. But in any case, he didn't play the rest of the day. Next highlight I have is Lamar throwing a 40-yard touchdown between the numbers and left hash to Aguilar, who had beaten Stevens. So nice play there. Johnson dropped in a 40-yard throw by the right sideline to Miller, Anthony Miller, who's got signed yesterday, I guess it was, or the day before, right in the bucket to beat bracket coverage from Holman and Ardarius Washington. So Ardarius Washington went on to have a big day, but that ball was just perfectly dropped in there, and a beautiful catch there by Miller. Good separation by Miller, who's he definitely has speed. He has some suddenness into his route running. I'm not in a position to give a really good judgment about what kind of a route runner he truly is. But he's a guy they have a hope. He's kind of a lottery ticket probably to make the team. He certainly could. And he could be a guy that hangs around on the practice squad and is available. He and Gage, neither of them played last year. Miller actually hasn't played in 2 years. So he's who's Dez Bryant model, who's coming back. He's actually 30 years old as well. So does seem to have some of the physical gifts still left. The Ravens last played him, I believe, in the 21 game. That might not be right, because I think he was actually with Houston and Pittsburgh that year. So I'm not sure when they last saw him playing with the Bears, but I believe they have seen him before. Next play to 7-on-7 to talk about is Pepe Williams having step-for-step coverage of Sean Ryan on a pass from Emory Jones, 30 yards down the left sideline. Ryan could not collect it on the sideline. It's usually Ryan owns that area. Went up high for the ball, but he just couldn't pull it in. Jackson then threw a 40-yard pass for Flowers. Stevens delivered a pass defense by reading Flowers' hands. So it's definitely a case where ball might have been a tad underthrown. Stevens watched the hands of Flowers, didn't find the ball in the air, but stuck his hand in and got the pass defense. So nice play there. Hamilton was a step late for a pass defense and interception on a 25-yard Lamar throw that was completed to Charlie Kolar. So a little bit of a thread job there because Hamilton was coming from the other direction and might have had a real nice play on the ball and possibly a good return, but the ball was well placed and Kolar caught it for the big play. Then Stevens had another pass defense of Johnson on a pass intended for Scotty Washington. And that's 30 yards, one circle. It's interesting. I put S Wash as a shorthand for what I'm doing here, but word will just change that to swash instead of the second W being capitalized. So if I'm having some trouble with this, it'll be apparent that might be the reason, but nice. Another PD from Stevens. He did get beaten some 11 on 11 plays. So, well, he had a decent day. It wasn't really a great day for him. We saw Hardy have a fingertip catch 35 yards down the right sideline or pass from Johnson with Pepe trailing. The only question was, could he haul it in or would it be overthrown? He had a couple steps or at least a full step on Pepe at the time, and he did manage to peel it in or pry it in off his fingertips, and a great catch there. Miller then dropped a 20-yard pass between the numbers and the left hash from Leary. Unfortunate, Miller had some plays today which didn't go right. He also had a couple plays that did, and we'll hear about those in 11 on 11. Now, when they weren't in pads today, and as I mentioned earlier, and when they are not in pads, I believe they do not either ever or always at least do scoring. And they did not do scoring today for the offense versus defense. So defense loves to be real competitive in the scoring category, but that's not what happened here. So just an unscored practice. Here's some plays from it. Lamar threw a 20-yard throw by the right sideline, incomplete for Aguilar with Humphrey step for step. Johnson threw a 20-yard other side of the field, so left sideline, incomplete for Kirkwood with JAD step for step. So we get some mirror image plays there. Lamar tried to drop in a shot for Wallace. That was 30 yards down the right sideline, but Marcus Williams was over for the PD. Marcus Williams had a really good day today, by the way. Lamar overthrew Bateman 40 yards down the left sideline with JAD in coverage. Then we saw Kadar Holman with a near sack of Emory Jones. Probably was a sack. When I say near sack, it usually means they just didn't blow the whistle in time, but he basically let up and then the play continued, which they just allow to happen sometimes. And he threw complete to Ishmael 25 yards down the left sideline, which I'm sure does not make Holman or the other defensive players particularly happy that sack is not called. We saw Dafi Owe beat Ronnie Stanley for a sack of Lamar that was blown dead. And this blown dead means they actually stopped the play at that point. So that's always a win for the defense when that occurs. And Nelson Aguilar dropped a pass 15 yards down the right sideline. He had some trouble with his hands today. And there was coverage with him, and I'm forgetting who it was, whether it might have been Stevens, but he went up for the ball and clean drop. In this case, and just it didn't make. I don't think it was Stevens by the right sideline, by the way, but he couldn't hold that in. Then Lamar threw a 40-yard pass down the right sideline for Flowers. Stevens was flagged for DPI on the play, so didn't catch it, obviously, or maybe not obviously, but he didn't. And then Stevens was flagged for DPI. So a real nice play from right guard Tayshaun Manning, who was in there on a pass rep and picked up Adisa Isaac well in the backfield. I'm not sure who Isaac got by initially because I didn't, at the time I was looking at Manning and Gage, see where the right tackle was. But it was a very nice pickup by Manning, who kind of took him around the circumference or the outside of the circle that is the pocket and gave Johnson an opportunity to make a throw that was incomplete anyway for Hardy, 20 yards right between the hashes. So that was unfortunate. We said then saw Joe Evans have a sack of Johnson, not whistle dead, but there's no question about it. He went in, touched him, held up, did the right thing. And then, of course, they don't blow the play dead. And Johnson, I actually did not record whether he got a pass off or not because it was so obvious to me that that was a sack. Lamar Jackson had ample time and space and threw a 30-yard pass down the left sideline to Mark Andrews. Now, that play, it was 30 yards in the air with Trenton Simpson in coverage. Simpson kind of pulled up. The safeties tried to get back, but nobody was in time to collect Andrews or take down Andrews on what was about a 30-yard yak play after the catch. That's yak after the catch is kind of redundant, but it was a very nice play, and a crowd kind of went wild for that one. On the very next play, Lamar completed a 35-yard pass for a TD to Miller, who got behind JAD. So Anthony Miller with one of his big plays of the day. Adisa Isaac then had a pressure to force a dump off from Devin Leary. Jackson threw a 35-yard pass down the right sideline to Kirkwood. Interesting contested ball where Holman really pried the ball free as Kirkwood came back to the ground and ended up being a good play for Holman in this case. Lamar completed a pass to Flowers, who was absurdly open, 20 yards down the left sideline. Appeared to be some sort of blown assignment, but in any case, a nice identification of the open receiver and hit him right in stride, and it would have been a big play. We saw, Jackson have a designed run left from the mesh with 43. Now, I've been talking the last couple shows, I've been talking about the lack of a mesh opportunities with Henry. This was a case, obviously, of Hill. When I say 43, he has plenty of experience with him in the mesh. And this one he took for, a pretty sizable gain. We saw David Ajabo have a pressure of Johnson on what became a 20-yard pass down the left sideline to Wade. Still nice to see Ajabo delivering some juice as a pass rusher. Ardarius Washington then undercut Anthony Miller 5 yards by the right sideline for an interception of what was really just a flotation device from Johnson, and it would have been a pick six pretty easily because he was headed in the towards pay dirt as soon as he caught the ball, and there wasn't an offensive player prepared to make that play. So Ardarius continues to stack very fine days of practice, and this was another one. Emory Jones, we saw have a complete pass 20 yards between the numbers on the left hash, where Tez Walker got very good separation from Stevens. So nice play, and nice to see Tez do some things as a receiver that are not simply running down the field. I've often made the comment that Tez Walker needs the complementary routes to go with his deep route ability. So he needs to come find a comeback, find a good dig route, find some things that, being a good crossing route, it kind of complements it, not as well as a comeback would, but he needs to have some other routes in his tree that he can run other than 7, 8, 9, which are all pretty good. All right. Let's see, where were we there? All right. We saw Lamar sacked. Was actually blown dead. Ardarius Washington and Adafe Owe looked like they might have shared it on the play. So Owe, part of his sec.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Second sack of the day. On the very next play, there was some confusion on the offense, and Lamar had to call timeout. And then on the next play after that, Ajabo had initial pressure and Matabike had a sack of Jackson. So that was a pretty bad series for Lamar. We saw Lamar throw a 30-yard pass up the left sideline to Flowers, slightly overthrown with Ardarius Washington trailing, but a play certainly that Flowers had gotten some separation that would have been good enough to make a catch had that ball been more on target. Johnson completed a 10-yard pass by the left sideline to Isaiah Washington on a comeback. And what was interesting about this play wasn't that comeback route, and I might not even note it normally, but was the U-turn yak play that Isaiah Washington made and the kind of the lackadaisical effort I saw from JAD, who kind of gave up on the play as soon as it was caught in front of him. You know, it's a comeback. He had given up some separation on the comeback. Then he decided, you know, kind of, well, oh, crap, the play, you know, it's a completion, the play's over. And then Isaiah Washington made a really nice U-turn move back to the middle of the field looking for yak. And JAD wasn't prepared to handle that. And he ran after it late. But honestly, it's the kind of thing that he won't appreciate watching that again on film with the coaches and his teammates. Hamilton knocked down Jackson's pass intended for Flowers. That was about 35 yards between the numbers and the right hash. Incredible play for Hamilton to get back from a deep safety spot, and especially considering he's coming back from an injury and whatnot. He got his hands on the ball, knocked it away. Orr commented on very few players able to make that play, but Hamilton actually immediately did push-ups for missing the interception and then left the field. So it's really nice to have Superman back on the field there. Johnson threw a 10-yard pass by the left sideline intended for Kadir that was knocked away by Marcus Williams, the first of two consecutive plays by Marcus Williams, who's on the next play. He nearly intercepted Johnson's pass for Ryan, 25 yards. I think this was closer to me, so I think it's actually on the right sideline. I have left sideline here, but in any case, Williams did push-ups after that one, and I think that was the near sideline by me, so I must have recorded it wrong. Then they went to a red zone drill. Lamar completed a 5-yard touchdown pass to Likely with Stevens in coverage. In the case of came up slightly short of the goal line, but ruled in with Yak. Johnson then completed a 10-yard touchdown to Miller, another feather for Miller's cap. Pepe had a very nice PD in the end zone versus Malik Cunningham, where he pried the ball free. Leary threw a 15-yard touchdown to Isaiah Washington, crossing in the back of the end zone with Holman trailing. And then Malik Harrison dislodged the ball late from Anthony Miller for a PD on another end zone try. Actually, I don't think that was an end zone try. I think that play was short of the end zone, but it was anyway pried free for an incomplete pass. We saw a very impressive field goal drill from Justin Tucker. Now, there's three fields. So one time in six, I think maybe two times in six, he actually kicks towards the castle on fields one or two. This happened to be on field one, the closest one to the L of the castle, where he's got a bigger swath of the building that he might hit with a particularly booming kick, and in particular if it's a short one. He was play after play, kick after kick, hitting the roof and good. He hit the the drain that's on the edge of the roof. The people always try to tell you, the gutter. He hit the gutter on the side of the building once with a nice twang. He hit the side of the building, some nice thuds on top of the roof. But the kicks were going well. He was really feeling it. He moved out, made one after 50, and they decided they were going to move one all the way back to 67 yards and give that a try. Of course, the NFL record is held by him at 66 yards. The kick was booming, and everybody was excited to see it. Okay, and We watched. It appeared like it was going to come up short. And then I see the official to the left, as I look at that upright, raised his arms good. The official on the right signaled no good. Then they conferred and called it no good. So I think what happened was the ball came up just short. And one of the officials in his exuberance, you know, lifted his hands, or perhaps, as I know a lot of the other reporters are going to report, they miscalled the ball, and it was actually good from 67 yards because the his teammates were celebrating like crazy at the other end of the field. Did look like to me, if anything, it probably did come up just short. In any case, doesn't reduce the majesty of the kick by very much. It was a booming shot. Anyway, they did ask Chris Horton, who was the first up in interviews, did he see if the kick was good or not? He said he couldn't tell. They did ask Chris Horton more important questions, which was from the first game. What did they learn about the new kickoff rule, and what can they take away from it? Some interesting things to say. He said that the physical thinks that the kickoff lends itself to a very physical play style, and he thought the Ravens' physicality was very well situated to take advantage of that. And they let one get away for a little bit longer return than they liked during the game, but otherwise they were fairly happy with what happened. He specifically praised Sanusi Kane for some of his open field tackling. I don't know if one of those was on a kickoff or if they were both on punts, but he had two special teams tackles in the game, and that was a positive that he took from that. Next up was Todd Monken. I asked him a question about Leary not taking any deep shots. You know, that's been one of my bugaboos with Leary so far, is that he was a gunslinger who didn't gunsling on Friday night. Had some real a couple of ATS opportunities, not a lot, but particularly on one boot play, he looked to read the open receivers 1-2-3 instead of 3-2-1. You should go from deepest to closest to get the best possible opportunity. That's why you try and create that time and space is to take a deep shot. And he immediately dumped off the ball to Dayton Wade a yard behind the line of scrimmage, where he was tackled with three Eagles bearing down on him. So Monken, unfortunately, had pretty much excuses for Leary. He said, well, his first three drives, he only had nine plays. And what I'm thinking about when he says that is Leary's the quarterback. Who is he going to blame for only having nine plays, to take some deep shots? And then, of course, he had a 15-play drive. And as you know, if you listen to the offensive review, he had five checkdown throws. And it was 10 runs that were somewhat successful and some yards after the catch from Dayton Wade that really keyed that drive. It definitely wasn't anything Leary did, with the exception of his one-yard QB sneak to get in. So, an unfortunate day for him. And maybe I know coaches like to protect their players. This was a case, and I would like to see this more often, that coaches are just a little bit honest with the media about what was not good about the player's game. And this is a case where it's everyone can see it. It's not like it's hidden in any way, but they're always liberal with praise and very stingy with negative components of that. He was asked, what does he want to see from the offense in general? And he gave two good answers to this. First of all, first one was and they're both general, be able to win in multiple ways. And the second one is play good situational football. I'll say that combination, if you get that, will win you a lot of football games. If you can win in multiple ways, if you can run the ball, you can pass the ball. Even when they know you're running the ball, you can still run the clock out. And if you can still play good situational football, third down, red zone, whatever it might be, you'll be very successful in the NFL. It's a lot to ask for. There's lots for Monken to do to realize that expectation of his own, including, use 12 personnel effectively, et cetera. But I thought Chris Horton's interview was very short. It's out there, of course, and worth listening to. Monken's interview also kind of short. Monken is kind of like Dean Pease in a lot of ways, in that he will give you a lot of information when he really feels like it. If you start asking him some tough questions, then he'll kind of clam up and talk in very general terms. And I the last time he was there, he gave a lot of information. This time I felt like not as much. And it was probably because of the type of questions that were being asked. And that can happen after a really difficult offensive effort. Zach Orr, was much better this time out, I thought, than he had been in one previous time that I saw him. But he said Trenton Simpson had worn the green dot for the first time in the first preseason game, and he had never done it before in practice. He was impressed with the way he was calling calls. He was asked by, I think it was Gianna Han, how do you critique your own play calling? And he said, we didn't have any substitution errors. That's something. Now, I like that answer because there's not a lot he can go into detail on there that would be. But the fact that the communication works smoothly is certainly a good thing. He's an on-field coach, or at least he said he was going to be. I assume he was actually down on the field for that first preseason game. I didn't check it. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have people in the booth watching certain elements. He just mentioned to us originally that he really wanted to get the emotional feel of the defenders coming off the field and see where their heads were at. And he didn't feel like he could do that from the booth. So I think it's a good choice of position for him. And hopefully communication is good in terms of the all 22 like view that the coaches have in the booth and relaying that information to him. Let's see. I asked him about CJ Ravenel and Joe Evans, and he praised both of them for respectively out of position play by Ravenel, who's a five tech. He said interior defensive lineman, same thing, but playing on the edge, playing outside linebacker the whole game. And in the case of Joe Evans, for very extended play, he said both those guys were popular on the team for what they'd done on Friday night. And I think they've got every reason to be so. So that was good to hear. And then he had lots of praise for Ardarius Washington. So Ardarius Washington's having a great camp, and he's an unbelievable heater right now. So you want to see, a guy who's hit, six homers in eight games kind of thing. That's about what Ardarius Washington has done the last week of practice. He's been absolutely terrific and multiple interceptions, seems to know where the ball's going. I think we're seeing him more at safety than anywhere else. He may have played some slot corner in this game. There were plays where he certainly might have been at slot corner. I would think at some point they're going to try and see if he can move back there. They've got obviously a lot of talent at safety. They do have a lot of talent at slot corner. Pepe Williams is playing well right now too. And obviously they have Hamilton there for a high percentage of the snaps. So I think they love the fact that Ardarius is versatile. I don't think we have yet seen Ardarius's tackling come to the fore in a really meaningful way, meaning him being tested on tackles, whether in the open field or by a longer player in the open field where there could be a stiff arm possibility, or just seeing his size tested against some of the bigger running backs. But we will, and hopefully that's something that he can come through on. There's multiple people that are probably in jeopardy from his heater, but one of them is Worley. The Ravens may not keep a fifth safety, or they might. They might have Ardarius Washington as their kind of fifth safety and a hybrid guy. Worley is a guy who he'll probably be cut no matter what because he's part of the handshake crew. But whether or not he's back for week one might depend on whether the Ravens think that Ardarius Washington can truly handle that position. I think if you see the Ravens bringing Ardarius back after they make moves to settle their roster with the injured players they want to start the season with, the ones that can come back on IR/DTR, then that'll be a fairly good indication, actually, of whether Ardarius Washington is going to end up at slot corner or not. We may have other clues to go before then, but I think that's one that we'll be able to see. That's going to do it for Camp Notes today. Thanks for listening again, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.